I'll read for you in Luke 3 and 1. I'll read about six verses. Perhaps I'll read one verse for Sunday school and let you be seated, and I'll continue to read. Now, in the 15th year, Luke 3 and 1, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea. Okay, so we got in the reign. Here, look at all the. I want you to look at the dignitaries here. We have Caesar, he's reigning. Pontius Pilate, we got the governor. And Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, we got the tetrarch, another ruler, Herod. And his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and in the region of Tetronidas and Lucanus, and tetrarch of Abilene. So we got all of these tetrarchs, which were rulers over all these areas. Annas and Caiaphas being high priest. So now we've gone from the political to now the high priest. But the word of God came to John. All these people that are in high places in society, they're not hearing from God. Even the high priest, they're not hearing from God. And the word of the Lord comes to a Tarzan. Comes to a man living in the wilderness, dressing in a camel suit, eating honey and locusts. The word of the Lord spoke to him. And the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, the son of a priest, in the wilderness. And he came into, you may be seated. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. This man is a preacher. His father was a priest. But this man is, when he hears the word of the Lord, he preaches what he hears. And he hears the word of the Lord, and he goes about preaching, not just repent, he preaches the baptism of repentance. You know what baptism is? Fully repented. Fully repented. When you're baptized with something, you are covered with it. Fully. They lined up one day to get baptized of John. He said, "Oh, generation of vipers, who told you, warned you of the day to come? Bring forth fruit, meat for repentance, then I'll baptize you." When you're ready to fully repent, he said, "I'll dunk you." And I tell people the same thing. This is all, it should be a life-changing thing. Baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Remit sins. You know, if anyone has, say, cancer or whatever, and they give you treatment, it remits it, right? It goes the other way. So this is for the changing, going a different direction. When you repent, you should be going a different direction, right? As is written in the book of the word Isaiah, the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now, generally, when you say repent, we're talking about you make your path straight. But watch what it says here. "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." "Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low." We're going to get the dozer out and level it out. Why? "And the crooked way shall be made straight." How many of you can see around the corner? I can't. "The crooked way shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth." Why? "So that all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord." If you got a hill in front of you, you can't see on the other side. He wants to make it his path straight, so you can see the salvation of the Lord. David said it this way, "Lord, lead me in a plain path. Talk simple, but talk straight to me." And that's what I like to do when I preach. I appreciate preaching at this church for so many years because I have preached without fear and without favor. I preach it straight. I'm not a hardline preacher, but I preach it straight. When I say hardline, you know what I mean. I want to talk for a little while, make his paths straight. When a city or a country knew that a king was coming to their place, they began to prepare the way for the king. It was the obligation of the city. It was the obligation of the house. It was the obligation of the destiny which the king would go, that the destination, the final destination, they should make sure that his way is straight. Because the king don't like to travel over bumpy roads, potholes, overhills, downhills. He's the king. And so he's saying, you had better make so the path straight, so the city and the jurisdiction of those days would make sure that the king traveled on the best. He'll be in a good mood when he gets here. And we can see him coming. Huh. Fill in the potholes. Take down the hills so we can see him coming in all of his glory. How many of you see him coming? He's coming. I see all the signs of his coming. He's coming. So we better make his path straight, because what he wants to get to is you. It's your obligation to make his path straight. Am I preaching anything you understand this morning? We always preach, make your way straight. No, it's make his way straight. Because when he gets to you, he will straighten you out. He'll straighten you out. But you have to make a way for him to get to you. And repentance helps make the way. In the world, they had a forerunner that would go ahead of the king, make sure the way was straight. They'd take up the rocks. If there was a rock that looked like it would make the chariot boggle, they'd take the rock out. They'd move it. If there was a pothole, they filled it in. They made his way straight. And so it is the King of glory, amen, that when he comes, you have to make his way straight. Now, John the Baptist was the forerunner for our king. He was going about doing in a spiritual sense what others did in a literal sense. And he's going about as the forerunner of Christ, not even maybe knowing himself, saying, he's coming, make your way straight, his way straight. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means it's right on us. So John, look at John's record, John 1 and 20, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed that I am not the Christ, because they came out. Who came out? All a bunch of people came out to check John out. I mean, all these dignitaries, all these Sadducees, all these Pharisees, all these Jews, all these priests, they come out to check John out. The guy that looked like Tarzan. Because why? He was drawing a crowd. They were losing support over his little simple message. If I preach repentance too hard, I lose people. There's one thing all of us have in common. What is it? Come on. Sin. That's right. We all have sin in common, but we don't want to talk about what's in common. And we can always talk about something in common, but we don't talk about that. And if you preach that too hard, they leave. But he was preaching, get straight. Get his way straight, because he's coming. And the way you're going to do it is repent. And they flock to him. And they ask him, what then? Art thou Elias? Oh my, that is to come. You know, they heard about the prophet Elias coming again. And he said, I'm not. But even Christ said, if you will, this is Elias, which was for to come. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. No, 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 no. He said unto them, who are you? Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. Lord, he was sent by the high priest. He was sent by all these dignitaries to go find out who this guy is. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am a voice. Just tell them. Anybody ever watch The Voice? I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. It's not me. It's not about me. It's about the King is coming. The King is coming. Make straight his way. As said the prophet Isaiah. I am only quoting, because that's why they thought he was the prophet Isaiah. They read what Isaiah said, and Isaiah said those words. Isaiah prophesied these words, and he was just repeating them. So he said, he must be Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptize thou then if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? Why are you doing this? John answered them saying, I baptize with water, just the token. But there standeth one among you. The king is here. He's at hand. Among you whom you know not. And they're looking around, I'm sure, who could it be? I don't see anyone with a crown on. I don't see any robe. I don't see who in the world. Where is this king you're speaking of? We all know now that it was John the Baptist's first cousin, and he didn't even know it. Because it was the word of the Lord that came to him, not the word of Christ. The word of the Lord that from heaven came to him, said, make straight his way. And even him, he didn't really recognize him either, till the voice said, this is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. And John recognized, for he didn't know. He said, how will I know the Christ? And the answer was, heaven told him, when you see the Spirit descend like a dove and light upon him and remaineth, the same is he. And when he saw that, he said, that's him. He it is who's coming after me, but he's preferred before me, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to unloose. He's that big. He's that good. He's mighty. He's powerful. He's wonderful. And they're like, I don't see. And he kept preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now listen, if you want to see the king, repent. Repentance clears the way to see the salvation of God. Without repentance, you will go nowhere. You will never be saved without repentance. But repentance clears God's way to you. Baptized unto repentance, a complete change. Repentance doesn't necessarily mean you're sorry, although you should be. Repentance means a change of your mind. I have changed my mind. Because you can change what you do and never change your mind. When the prodigal son changed his mind, he changed his destiny. He could have said, I'm sorry, I lost everything, Daddy had. Oh, I'm so sorry, I lost everything. But when he changed his mind, he said, I will arise and go back to my father's house. And when he changed his mind, he then saw the salvation of the Lord. Repentance makes the straight path for the Lord to get to you. It takes the crooked ways and makes them straight. The high ways come down, the low ways come up, the potholes are filled in. And let me tell you this, it is your obligation to fix the road so Christ can get to you. It is your obligation, it was the city's obligation, the country's obligation, to fix the road so he could get to you. If you don't repent, he won't come. The glory of God does not go down crooked ways. It doesn't go down the potholes. It goes down a straight path. When we look at the Bible talking about the narrow is the way and straight is the gate, it's a different straight. It's a constricted, straight, it's constricted. Whereas this straight is that like an arrow straight. Because if you want to see anything, you got to look straight, right? If you want to see the glory of God, and I hope that we all do, you have to make his way straight. The problem that we have in society today is that, let me just say it this way. The glory of the old days was cheap. Now let me tell you what I mean. All you had was a box guitar, sawdust floors, and a tent. And the glory of the Lord was there. It was cheap. But now that we got padded pews for you to sit on, we have great air conditioning. We're either too hot or we're too cold or we're not, you know, it's always, the lights are too bright, they're too, and where's the glory of God? Where's the glory? It's expensive now.
And you pay all of this and get no glory. Because what the glory has been to move the crowd. Even preachers come by here and sometimes they'll say, concerning y'all, I didn't move the crowd. I'm not trying to move the crowd. I'm trying to move God. If I move God, it'll move the crowd. And they don't understand that. Because they want to move you. And if you're not up on your feet and you're not, I warn them when they come, we don't just jump and run everything you say. I'm sorry, they may do that down south of the border, but we don't do that here. But they'll listen. And sometimes it still gets to them. And I'm not belittling, I'm just saying that's the fact. Because if we're trying to move the crowd to get the glory going, that's not it. You move God and the glory will be there, and you don't always have to be moving to move God. You know, right here's where you change. Right here's where you change. And when God moves inside of here, you may see nothing on the outside. Because he's, as the song says, working on the inside first, and then he'll work on the outside. John the Baptist came with no PA system, no fancy clothes, no business cards, wasn't eating caviar or steak, came in a camel suit, eating honey and locusts. And just said, all I've got is a voice. The kingdom, and it was, if I preached the same message, y'all would probably let me know after a while, right? I mean, he preached the same message every time. Make his path straight. Prepare the way for our God. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The next sermon was the same sermon. But John drew a crowd and I'm not. So he must have been a better preacher or they were better listeners. People were coming to hear a message of repentance. Lord, let's put up on our sign, today's message is about repentance. They're not coming. Today, I wrote in my notes, I have a warning. It says, don't drink the Kool-Aid of this generation. Don't drink the Kool-Aid of this untoward generation. When you look at the time of Joshua crossing over Jordan, that was a mighty generation. Possessed the land. But you read before you get out of the book of Joshua, and there arose another generation that knew not God. And they served Kool-Aid to their kids, and they knew not God. Don't drink the Kool-Aid of this generation. John the Baptist came with one mission in mind, and that was to preach repentance so you could make the way straight to see God. And all of these political figures John did not endorse, and that's what disturbed them. He had crowds, but he wouldn't endorse them. He wasn't a Sadducee. He wasn't a Pharisee. He wasn't a publican or Republican or Democrat or pedestrian. What he was a voice. And he took no sides. He called it the way he saw it. Because he knew the king would do the same. And he was preparing the way for that stern talk that Jesus came with, you hypocrites. He was telling all of them to repent and get ready for what's at hand. He was telling them of that day to change your mind. It's not about the tetrarchs. It's not about Herod. It's not about the governor. It's not even about the high priest. Change your mind, because there is a new kingdom coming. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on heaven as it is in earth. There's a new kingdom coming, and the new kingdom has a new king. And that's why Herod was so disturbed when they heard about the wise men bringing this king. Oh, let me know where he's at that I may go worship him. No, that I may kill him. Because he didn't want a threat to his kingdom. And so John was telling them to repent, meaning change your mind the way you see the kingdom.
This kingdom is not about Rome. It's about God in you, the hope of glory. And John was Jesus' campaign manager, getting everybody ready to receive him into office. They were so disturbed that it was quoted by one of the Pharisees that said, look, the whole world has gone after him, speaking of Christ. We are losing our support. We must stop him. No changing us. Stop him.
Seems to be going on today, too. After 400 years of silence, hearing nothing from God, John steps on the scene as a voice for God. Let me tell you, God's always got a voice somewhere. He's always got a voice. It may come out of a burning bush. It may come out of a man that looks like Tarzan. But God's got a voice. If you want to hear from God, God's got a word for you somewheres. The kingdom of God had arrived on earth. And it arrived in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger among the beast of the field. They were looking for a king to roll out the carpet, red carpet from heaven, come on a white charger, which he will one day, but it'll be the second coming of Christ. The rules of the world, rulers of this world, were just worried about their kingdom and not the kingdom of God. And his kingdom, listen close, was not to rule over men, but to rule in men. His kingdom did not come to rule over men, and still doesn't today. And anytime a pastor tries to rule over you, he is wrong, or she is wrong. Because Christ rules within us. Where is the kingdom of God? The scripture says the kingdom of God is in you. The king sits on a throne in a kingdom. And he should be on the throne while you're on the cross. Because if you're on the throne, he's back on the cross. There can't be but one on the throne and one on the cross. Somebody's got to submit, and it needs to be you. Or he cannot reign. And so there, the Bible says that the kingdom of God consists of love, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. When Christ ascended, he said, I'll send back my kingdom, my spirit, and it will be in you, and it will rule in you. It will lead you and guide you into all truth. So Christ, when he came the first time, through John the Baptist, he began to shake up the world. After 400 years of hearing nothing, all of a sudden Christ, it reminds you of the 400 years of nothing that they stayed in Egyptian bondage. And then when Christ gets ready to move, he shakes the world up. That's what he does. He shakes the world up. He shook up Pharaoh. Look at the plagues. He shook him up till finally he had to kill the firstborn to get him to let him go. And then he changed his mind. And when Christ come on the scene on his first coming to earth, he shook the world up with the voice of John, and then in comes Jesus behind him. Hebrews 12 and 24 says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. What happened to Abel? You remember his brother slew him, and his blood went into the ground. And what was it? A voice. He said, I hear the voice of thy brother's blood crying to me from the ground. John the Baptist was crying for all the Abels in the world. He was crying for all the people that had been hurt in the world. And this would be the way to reach salvation. This would be the way to be reconciled with God from what had happened to us in the world. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, Christ, who spake on earth, and they refused him, if they escaped not, much more shall we
shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? How shall we escape, the scripture says, if we neglect so great a salvation? If they didn't escape, how will we escape? How will we escape after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? They didn't escape before that. How much less can we expect to escape the wrath of God if we neglect this great salvation? Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things which are shaken, as of the things that are made, and those things which cannot be shaken may remain. They say there's two ways when you build something, wherever earthquakes are, to handle it. You either try to build it so rigid that an earthquake can't affect it, or you have to learn to go with it. They actually put them on things so they can shake. Go with it. He says, I'm coming back one more time, and I'm telling you, I'm preaching to you this morning, repent, for the kingdom of heaven again is at hand. He is coming back. It's right around the corner. Earth is getting shaken up. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, when they're eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, do you notice how many motels there are in Lake Charles? Can you believe that? I used to live in a little quiet area over there. Nobody was hardly went down the street that much except to cut through. Now they all walk in there. I don't know these people. And they all come here for one purpose, other than those people that are working. They come here for one purpose. There's two big casinos over there. And there's at least five new motels sitting on a piece of property right there. You saw that? And there's new construction fixed. All that property is 150 acres. It's all fixed. It's all under contract. It's all going to change. Eating and drinking. Marrying and giving in marriage. What does that mean? That means that they don't care what's going on. They don't care about God. They're busy with their own agenda. I am telling you, the kingdom of God is at hand. His coming is nearer than you think. Okay, if I tell them. She got up this morning about 6:30, and I was still getting my beauty nap. And she went out to let her dog out, and all of a sudden I hear this pounding on the door. Marshall, Marshall, Marshall. She was calling on the name of Marshall, beating on the door, and said, there's someone in your shop. So I opened the door and I just looked out. I mean, I'm sure I woke up all night. Get out of here! I mean, I screamed it out. I didn't know where he was at, but I let him know I am a voice. They say if you ever get attacked, just scream as loud as you can. Use your voice. And so when she saw this guy come out of my shop, he was on my side of the fence, and he's pulling the door too. Looked around and there's my wife standing. She says, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm just passing through. Just trying to get through." And when I went out with my 20 gauge, which I shouldn't have done, because nowadays I would be the wrong one because they'll say you should have called the police and let us handle it. I was just protecting my property. And he was gone. He jumped back across the fence. And I had my dogs put up for the night. If I had my dogs out, Buck would have got him. He'd have had some fresh meat. And so, anyway, long story short, because I know you want to know how it ends now, the neighbor behind us had a video camera, and I got his picture on my phone. I don't think it's any of y'all. So anyway, I thank God we're all right. But I'm just telling you, see,
this is the world we live in today. I can't even leave. I've lost a four-wheeler on the back of my truck right there in the city limits. You can't leave anything out. They'll steal it. Why? They want drugs. They want something to drink. And you know why my wife said, you know why he probably went in your shop? Either to steal a tool or in Hocket, or I have a little air conditioner in there, and it looks like a man cave. You know how some of the man caves are equipped? Y'all didn't understand that. You know how some man caves are equipped? They have a refrigerator in there and have their booze in there. I have deer heads in my freezers. If he opened my freezer, there's a big old buck looking at him right in there. 9 points. Next time I'll put a little gun, So he was either looking for that. But all I'm saying is this is the world we live in. You can't have anything without somebody trying to take it from you. I'll be glad to get to heaven where there's no trespassers, because I just caught two more on my lease. I got the video cameras. There's three of them. I got two of them. Excellent. I'm headed to the DA's office. It's constant. It's constant. Back to my message. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom. Oh, wait a minute. We receiving a kingdom. There's a shaking that's going to go on. But I have received a kingdom. And if I have received the kingdom, I have received the King. For he says, whoever receives one of mine has received me. I have received a kingdom which cannot be moved. Woo! Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably and reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. My. If you have the kingdom of God in you, which is the Holy Ghost, the King should bring peace to you, joy to you, happiness to you. All the things that God is in you. Amen. So if you don't have him this morning, I'll tell you in my closing remark, repent and make his path straight to get to you. Somebody said, well, I repent. Just straighten up your life. You'll never stay straight. We've all sinned since we've known God. We've all sinned since we got the Holy Ghost. But what I want to keep clean is the way for him to get to me. When I say I'm sorry and I say I'm through, I want him to have access to me. David said it this way after his great sin, search me, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked thing in me. Give God access to you. God bless you. Take a quick break and we'll see you in a little bit for morning worship.